The show you're listening to is called The Ron Van Dam Show because calling it the Mr. Sassy Pants Hour of Truth and Beauty just didn't test well with audiences, which is probably for the best. This is Mr. Sa... This is The Ron Van Dam Show on New England Broadcasting.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night. It's the Ron Van Dam Show.
Mr. Sassy Pants to you.
Hold on tight. Things can get a bit weird, if you like that sort of thing.
Sassy Pants, man. I am indeed Mr. Sassy Pants. Welcome to the Mr. Sassy Pants Show. I'm wearing sassy pants. How you doing today? How's everything going? Don't answer. I can't hear you. God, you should know that by now. You know, like you drive your car down a one-way street the wrong way? That's what this show is about to you. You can't respond to me. You can send me an email, but I'm not going to read it. This is the Friday weekend edition of the program, which means it spans 3 days. I'm doing a span show here. So this has got to satisfy you for 3 days. Nothing satisfies me for 3 days. I'm lucky if I can get 5 minutes. You know what I'm saying? You know what? Oh, God. All right, that's enough. It is Mother's Day weekend. Ooh, special, special weekend when we honor our mothers. Yeah, and that's a good thing, I suppose. So honor them. Do something. Tell them about the show. That would honor me. They can kill 2 birds with 15 stones that way, huh? I know. Anyway. An event might be taking place this weekend that you should know about. I alluded to it a few days ago. That was a hard phrase to say. I alluded to it a few days ago. There's a Chinese space station. Is there really, Ron? Yes. There's not just one space station up there. There's a few of them, and from different countries. There's a Chinese space station that the Chinese government has put into space that orbits the Earth. It's, you know, it's their right to do. How else can they spy on us? Right? Okay, I get it. In order to get that space station going in construction, they have to send up parts of the space station on various rockets into orbit. Well, they've been doing that. There's a 21-ton booster rocket thing that's been orbiting the Earth for some time now. Scientists say, and astronomers and all those people, butchers, bakers, candlestick makers, all say that that piece of space debris will fall into the atmosphere onto the planet somewhere, onto somebody's head. So you've heard that term, you know, when they're playing golf, you know, four, or, you know, when you're playing sports, hey, look out, look out, look out, look out, heads up, heads up. Well, heads up this weekend, a piece of space junk could fall on your head. Now, I say that in a sarcastic manner, as I do most things. This piece of space debris is up to 21 pounds. No, Ron, that's wrong. 21 tons. That's significant. That's bigger than 21 pounds. Yes, 21 tons. 21 pounds. What the hell's wrong with me today? I can't talk. I can't talk and I do a daily talk show. This could be a problem. 21 tons of space junk will be falling on the Earth. Those of you that live in the Northeast, the orbit of this space junk so far has been, it would land just north of New York. That's going to put a damper on the commute. Yeah, I'm serious. A lot of this will burn up in the atmosphere, obviously, but some of it won't. Sometimes the larger pieces don't burn up as nicely, or they break up when they are burning up. So space junk could be falling in your neighborhood, especially if you live in the Northeast. But that also translates to parts of China, parts of South Africa. Usually space junk falls into the ocean. This time, unfortunately, because the Chinese didn't really care, there's no way to know when this will actually happen. But it could happen this weekend. So if you're walking, if you're working outside and walking around, just, you know, if you see something coming down toward your head, I would run. Just run, I would think. That's a good idea. It is the equivalent of a car or a truck falling out of the sky. It could be. It could be that large and that heavy, which could give you a headache if it actually hits you. I mean, this is like a science fiction movie. Now, a lot of people on the planet, which is more than seven, are a little bit upset at China. And what they're saying to China is, if you're going to launch something into orbit, could you please plan to have it like, you know, the space debris, kind of like know what's going on with it? Don't just let it fall back anywhere on the planet. Now, we do this, but we control it. We control it so it lands in the ocean where there are no people living, except for some guy wearing Bermuda shorts on an island somewhere. And he, you know, if space junk hits him in the head, who cares? It's actually done us a favor. But when it could fall into major population areas like New York, that's not a good thing. So my message to China, and I know they listen to the show on a daily basis, try to control your space stuff if you could, please. As I said a few days ago, if a piece of space junk fell on a dollar store where they only sell Chinese merchandise, that would be an interesting conundrum. What do they call it? Kismet? Payback's a bitch, isn't it? Anyway, this 21-ton piece is the core stage, you know, when they launch things into orbit. There are various booster rocket stages. This is the main stage, and appearing now on the main stage. So heads up, baby. Space debris on the way. Yeah, Bob, can you go outside? Why? Could you? There's a piece of space debris on the lawn, and I don't know. The neighbors are going to talk. Could you just remove the large piece of space debris, please?
I'll get the rake.
Thank you. That's happening this weekend. At the same time, NASA, the National Aeronautics Space Administration and Laundry Soap Dispenser Company, is launching also, if you live in the Northeast, around the Washington, D.C. area, all the way to New York and Boston and South, the Carolinas, that whole East Coast thing, you might be able to see it Saturday night at 8 o'clock p.m. if your skies are clear and you happen to be looking up, which you're probably doing anyway to make sure the space debris isn't coming at you. What would you do if you looked up and you saw space debris coming towards your house? I know what I would do. I would, because there's no place to run because you don't know exactly where the space debris is going to hit. I guess I'd run inside. And my immediate reaction would be standing there helplessly yelling, "Oh shit, I think that's what I would do." Now, I'm not cursing. I usually don't use profanities in my life at all. But here, it might come into play. I don't know. You never know. I have an interesting guest coming up a little bit later on in the program. And I know what you're going to say. Don't even bother. We are entering into the second week of May. Oh my God, we survived the Cinco de Mayo. That's not easy. Some people don't survive that holiday. Do you know Cinco de Mayo is actually celebrated more in the United States than in most countries where the damn thing makes more sense to celebrate? Yeah, what we do is we have some type of Spanish food, which we now have transformed into Mexican food. And that's how we do it. Nobody knows what Cinco de Mayo is. We know that there's a lot of fives involved. But all it means to people is to have a special kind of cocktail. Just make a cocktail. I don't know what it is. Just make it different and whatever and go yeehaw and hit a pinata and you're home free. You've celebrated the holiday. That was earlier in the week. I believe it was on Wednesday. And then, of course, Sunday, as I have talked about in previous shows, is Mother's Day. Do something special for your mother. Untie her is a good idea. Thank her for being the greatest mother in the world, even though in many cases she has not been at all. Just say that she is. You know, sometimes I've done so many shows about this, I'm getting sick and tired. Sometimes you have to lie and tell the untruth. Not about the presidential election. That is stupid. I'm talking about your mother and your wife. You can insult men and get away with it because it just is true. You can insult a man and a man's supposed to just take it, because if he doesn't just take the insult, then he's not a man. You know, there's this kind of, you know, oh, you're not being a man. Oh, don't you have any balls? You know, yes, I have balls, but that doesn't mean anything. Be a man. You have ears. What? That doesn't make sense. Be a woman. You have tits. I mean, come on. What does that mean? But you don't insult a female, a mother, a woman. Don't insult them, because you will be punished and severely chastised, and your life will be a pure hell. Because women, for some reason, not to be sexist, but it's true, women, for some reason, hold all the power, and they will destroy you. They will, with their X-ray vision. They will destroy you. They will. They do, they will, they know they can. And if you're a woman and you don't know you have the power to destroy, then you're not using your superpowers. Because that's a woman's superpower. It's a superpower. Yeah. They can't fly. Women can't fly, not that I know of. They can't bend steel. Most people can't. But they can destroy. They can destroy. So you don't do that. So you say to your mother, if she's still with us, you say to her on Mother's Day, you are the best mother ever, even though it may not be true. You lie to her. No argument, just do it. And when Father's Day comes around, I mean, you know, you should do the same thing, but at the same time, if you don't, what's going to happen? Nothing, you know. Happy Father's Day. I don't even know if you're my real father, but in any event, happy Father's Day. I mean, that would be a nice card, you know. happy baby daddy's day. Happy sometimes you're here day. This gets on. My father and I had a very strange relationship. He wore women's clothing and I bought it for him. No, that's not, I'm kidding. We didn't do a lot of things together. I don't know why. People are usually close to their mothers for a nurturing situation. Men are kind of like, when I was growing up back in 1827, before they invented horses even, my father's only role in a sexist world was when he came home to threaten me. I mean, that was my mother's tool.
You know, you kids, when your father gets home, I'm going to tell him what happened and there's going to be hell to pay.
That was his role. That was it. Also, on family days, when we went somewhere in the car, he would drive. Other than that, he served very little purpose as far as a child was concerned, obviously. In those days, men were the breadwinners. They went out and they did things and they won bread as a prize and would bring the bread home.
Wait, we don't have any bread in the house.
Your father wins it and he's not home with it yet. It's like you win it at a carnival. Anyway, yeah, men had very little to do with the family unless it was a structured situation, and their main purpose was to threaten the children that they would be chastised and possibly even hit. Yeah, in those days, it was a common practice to, smack your child on the behind, only on the behind. You know, I'm surprised anybody has a behind left, to be honest with you. But that was, you know, that was the job of a man to be afraid of the man. So the woman had an incredibly important role. So Mother's Day becomes, I know, too much history, and it even doesn't sound, socially it doesn't sound right anymore, but that's the way that it was. There are a lot of things in history where that's the way they were, but they were not a right thing to do. This country has evolved into crap from previous crap. We don't perform the previous crap anymore. We've dismissed that crap and replaced it with new crap. Yeah. Yeah. That's what we've done. Anyway, so Mother's Day, yes, Sunday, just get her something or call her on the phone. No, hello, Mom.
Hi, how are you?
Happy Mother's Day. You know, you're the best mother in the world.
Okay, I won't have any retribution against you this year. Thank you for saying that.
Mothers are really something. They are. What's your fondest memory of your mother, whether she's here or whether she's not? What's your best quality? There's a lot of qualities. Women have a lot of qualities. Women do everything. They can do everything, and they do everything. Men, you can pin it down. You know? What a great mother she is. She takes care of us. She supports us. She works hard for us. She nurtures us. She's a great cook. I know that's still part of the woman's facade. Men can cook too. Okay, all right, fine. But you know, there's a long list of things that mothers do, and balancing acts and all those things. And then you look at the guy. What's your father's best quality? Ooh, he's great with a screwdriver, man. If there is a screw, he will get out his power tool and he will screw that screw into the wall like you've never seen. That is something he does well. I mean, it's the comparison is crazy. Anyway. I don't know how politically correct this show really is, or socially correct it is. I'm not too sure. And now, Act 2 of the program, our guest will join us right now. Stephen Knopf is with us. He's Executive Director of Chiropractic and Compliance, the Joint Chiropractic. Thanks for being with us today. I've been looking forward to speaking to you. How are you doing?
I'm doing well, Ron. How are you?
Great, thank you. And I know it doesn't sound like it, but I am over 20 years old, and it seems that every year that I progress in age, there are body aches and back aches and stuff. And when I start to talk to my friends and relatives, they all have the same concern. Every single one of them, oddly enough, in various degrees. This is This is something that a lot of us are very familiar with. As a matter of fact, I understand that there's a good percentage of the country that goes through this.
Yeah, you're right. When it comes to neck and back pain, you're looking at something around 65 million Americans. Yeah, that have some kind of ache, pain, stiffness, crick in the joint, whatever. But it is really very common that's out there.
Very, very, very common. And yes, and it's amazing. Here's what I fear, and tell me if you agree. When I was growing up, I was told, you know, stay away from the television set and sit up straight in school. Now we've got computers and screens all over the place, and I'm wondering, are we headed down a road that's going to be a bit more difficult for the next generation?
It is definitely a new level of difficulty that we're facing with all the technology that's out there. Yeah. You might have heard the term tech neck or text neck are pretty popular terms that we've heard in around the country, and it's essentially, you know, how all of us are using our cell phones, where it's kind of just down in our lap or by our stomach, when in reality that cell phone or your handheld gaming system should be more eye level. Same thing with your computer monitors. Those should be up so that you're sitting upright. That takes a lot of stress off of your upper back and your neck when you just have your devices positioned correctly.
Very interesting. These days, television sets in living rooms or family rooms are placed over a fireplace, almost up at the ceiling. Is that a better thing, or is that a worse thing?
It's a good question. There's definitely guidelines. Everyone's living room looks a little bit different, depending on how far back your couch is from your TV set.
I see.
So there are actually guidelines and calculations out there to help you understand where your TV should be hung, so that you're not craning your neck up, or you're trying to look down at it from any spot in your living room. But it's amazing that you know, putting it up too high or having it down too low, you're watching TV quite frequently, and over time you can start to feel the effects if your TV is misplaced.
That's for sure. I've always had my TV off to the right a little bit because there's a window when I face forward, so I have to put the TV to the right. And I've noticed now, a couple of years later, that my neck is hurting in a certain direction, and I'm putting two and two together. This really makes a difference.
Yeah, it's something to think about. And I don't think a lot of people connect posture with how they feel.
Yeah.
I think everyone knows about posture, and it's just kind of in the back of your mind. But when you're experiencing symptoms, I don't think people go right away to, well, is it because I'm slouched over? I don't think that's the first thought for a lot of individuals.
All right. What about when you're working all day, maybe you're computer programming or you have a desk job and you're sitting all day? Are there ways to improve your posture if you're in one of those one position kind of jobs?
Yeah, definitely. Your grandma, your school teacher, he talked about it at the beginning of this conversation. They're really like your first chiropractor telling you to sit up straight. And so really what you're trying to do is keep your head directly over your shoulders. You should be bent at 90 degrees at the waist, so you're not slouching forward or you're not leaning back in your chair. Your knees should be at 90 degrees and your feet should just be flat on the floor. It's like the most boring way to sit, but it's the best position for your body to take stress off of various areas of your back and your neck. So that if you are sitting, you know, 8-9 hours a day, and then you go home and you watch Netflix or your favorite show, you're just not beating your body up by sitting for so long.
What about these desks that are like a little bit higher up? Is that a good idea or a bad idea?
It can be a good idea for some people. Now, standing all day also has potentially detrimental effects. You know, you talk to hairstylists or people who are on their feet all day. That's a different set of problems. But for people who sit all day, getting a desk that they can spend some time standing, maybe it's a half hour a couple times throughout their day, it really does help to just keep your joints and your muscles loose and flexible. So they are a good option if you find that you are stuck sitting, you know, more than 6 hours in a day.
Yeah. Now, so that's our waking hours. What about our sleeping hours? I know I get up in the morning sometimes and I hurt in places that I didn't hurt in the night before. Like, what happened? Did I sleep wrong?
This is probably one of the most common questions we get as a chiropractor. Is there a mattress? Is there a pillow? You know, magic bullet out there to help people sleep better at night? And unfortunately, the answer is it really depends on how you like to sleep at night. It's very hard to change. For example, if you're a side sleeper to sleep on your back, it's hard to make that change. So if you are a side sleeper, there are recommendations to protect your muscles and help you wake up more refreshed. Like, you should have a thicker pillow if you sleep on your side so that your head isn't drooping to one side. If you sleep on your side, you should have something in between your knees so that you're not throwing off the position of your hips all night long.
Interesting.
You know, people who sleep on their stomachs, just to be able to breathe, that means you have to usually have your head just cranked to one side all night. And you mentioned with your TV noticing that issue.
Yes.
Just think about what that's like when you're sleeping, you know, 6 to 8 hours a night with your head turned to one side. It's tough to change, but there are solutions out there for individuals. You just got to have that conversation with a chiropractor to see what's going to help you out.
Okay. I know that you have something about breathing as well. I know that when I stand up straight and I take a breath, I kind of feel like I'm getting more air. Is that the case?
Yeah, it is. And, you know, difficulty breathing is not something most people will associate with posture. But what typically happens, Ron, is with poor postures, our shoulders start to round forward and our chest muscles start to tighten up. That really limits the ability for your rib cage to expand so that you're able to draw a fuller breath in. So if you were to get your shoulders back, tuck your shoulder blades down back towards your pants pockets, and stand up straight, you're able to take a more full breath. And that's really important for patients who maybe suffer from asthma or allergies and already have difficulty breathing. Just being mindful of your posture can really make a difference for those individuals. And then you've got athletes who obviously rely on oxygen to feed their muscles. So again, posture is really important if you rely on your body for performance reasons too.
Yeah, I know when I stand up straight and I walk out in public, I feel like taller and I feel more confident. It's a psychological thing too, isn't it?
100%. I mean, you think about just all the bad things that we just talked about, headaches, migraines, neck pain, stiffness, that puts you in a bad mood. and if you don't have those things, if you're not thinking about being in pain, you're going to be happier. You're going to have more energy. You're going to feel more confident if you're not having to worry about those things. So, again, you know, posture just has it is a foundation for our health that I don't think we think a lot about.
Well. Chiropractic care is accepted by all medical insurances now. It didn't used to be that way, but it is now. So one is free to take advantage of this type of advice. Where do we go in order to find out more?
Yeah, to learn more about chiropractic or posture, you can go to thejoint.com/posture.
Excellent. Stephen, you're good at this stuff. That was a very impressive conversation. We appreciate it. Thank you.
Thanks, John. Thanks for having me.
Okay. Well, that'll do it for me today. You have been a wonderful person, as you usually are. I don't know how you do it, but I'm sure you know how. Be good to each other. Look, I don't want to pontificate. I'm not the Pope. I don't dress like the Pope. I dress like George Washington. I'm not the Pope. Oh, my God. Sometimes I'll be walking down the street and people will stop me and say, Jesus, have you come back? I know I look like Jesus a little bit. When I was younger, I was a spitting image of Jesus. Oh, you put a pair of sandals on me, you couldn't tell us apart. I'm telling you. I'm grown up now, and you know, I look a little, still a little bit like Jesus, but not so much. But yeah, people mistake me for Jesus all the time. I know. People will stop me and say, "Jesus, what are you doing back here?" They will do that to me. And they also mistake me for the Pope. I look nothing like the Pope, but I have Pope-like qualities. I reek of Pope. I just do. I'm a Popish kind of guy. Perhaps it's the long flowing robe and that hat, but yet people seem to think that I'm the Pope, and I don't know. You do what you want. I'll be back again on Monday with a brand new show. Until then, I wish you peace. I really do, because you're going to need it. Oh, my God, are you going to need it? Oh, my God, are you going to need it? Oh, man, are you going to need it? Oh, man.